Morning, brothers and sisters. We know that our Father in heaven is the creator of this world and everything on this earth. And we know that God cares for us and also for his creation. For Christ is to return to this earth and is to be set up by Jesus so that God can live with his creation. His creation is not only for us as living creatures, but also other living creatures which were created before Adam. In Genesis 1:24 we have this story of when God said, "Let the earth produce living creatures according to their kind. Livestock, creatures that crawl, and the wildlife of the earth according to their kind." And it was so. So God made the wildlife of the earth according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. God saw they were good. And there's no record of animals sinning against God, is there? And animals were accepted as a sacrifice of God. Man was not acceptable because of sin. All these creatures, big or small, are still acceptable to God, and the Creator is still concerned for them. God not only created them instinctively wise, what I mean by that is that after they are born, they automatically do what they have been born to do, don't they? They can fly, or walk, or crawl, or swim, whatever their parents were. It's all done by instinct. And God made provisions for them to flourish in their environment. We read today in the Psalm, which James just read, God causes the springs to gush into the valleys. They flow between the mountains. They supply water for every wild beast. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky live beside the springs, and they sing among the foliage. He waters the mountains from his palace. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his labour. He causes grass to grow for the livestock and provides crops for man to cultivate. And then we read in Genesis 1 verse 6, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." So God made all the animals, or the other creatures, subject to Adam. The animals were not designed for their reasoning ability. In contrast, Adam was created to reflect a greater way of life that God could live with. This did not give mankind license to exercise authority over animals independent of God. For example, Adam began naming the animals because God extended that privilege to him. God assisted Adam by bringing the birds and the wild animals under his creator's direction. Sorry, I missed that one. By bringing the birds and wild animals to Adam to see what he could call each one. Only by working under his creator's direction could man be successful in caring for the living creatures. We know how Adam and Eve disobeyed God, which brought devastating consequences to all life on the earth. The creator did make it clear how animals were to be treated. Although after the flood, God allowed man to use them for food and other practical purposes, God never ever sanctioned cruel treatment of them. Proverbs 12 verse 10 says, "A righteous man cares about his animal's health, but even the merciful acts of the wicked are cruel." God gave the nation of Israel laws that addressed the welfare of animals. We are fully aware, of course, of the Sabbath day, aren't we? was a day of complete rest for the Jews, but it was also a day of rest for the animals. God tells them that in Exodus 23 verse 12. He says, "Do your work for 6 days, but rest on the seventh." That was for the man, male, female. "Why? So that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female slave, as well as the foreign resident, may be refreshed." But although no work was allowed on this day, they were able to help an animal in distress. Remember in Luke, Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, and Jesus asked the Pharisees if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath, and they didn't answer. Luke 14 verse 5, to the Pharisees Jesus says, "Which of you who has an ox, an ass or an ox, which has fallen into a pit, and will not straightway put him out on the Sabbath day?" And to this they couldn't find an answer. God also told the nation of Israel that cattle were not to be deprived of food while they worked, and they were also not to be put under extreme burdens. Exodus 23 verse 4, "If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you falling down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help them with it." And Deuteronomy 25 verse 4 says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it treads out grain." Deuteronomy 22 verse 10 says, "Do not plow with an ox and a donkey together." Clearly, God is concerned with animal welfare. They are to be treated properly and with respect and compassion. God has compassion on animals, shouldn't we? Look at the story about Jonah. Remember when Jonah was upset with God because he showed the mercy to the city of Nineveh? God's reply was very interesting. He said he was concerned for the city and what? Jonah chapter 4, the last verse of the book, and verse 11. "And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left?" And what's next? "And also many domestic animals." So again, our Creator shows how he cares for animals as well as us. Now Isaiah chapter 43, God is speaking about his mercy and Israel's unfaithfulness. And he also mentions a verse about animals. Verse 20 of that chapter, he says, "The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people." Clearly, God is not insensitive as to how animals are treated. God's beloved Son, Jesus, said, "A single sparrow does not fall to the ground without his Father's knowledge." Humans do not understand how their actions influence the environment. Mankind is only just starting to come to grips with the fact that we are really polluting the earth. The Bible describes a time when under the kingdom of God, the people will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord God. And so, the Creator's influence will ensure there will be harmony between man and beast, so restoring the way it was right in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. We know this quote very well, and we often use it to show the peace there will be in the kingdom of God to come. It's recorded in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6. And it says there, and you'll know it very well, "The wolf will in with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling will be together, and a child will lead them." This is talking about the kingdom of God. "The cow and the bear will graze, their young ones will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. An infant will play beside the cobra's pit, and a toddler will put his hand into a snake's den. None will harm or destroy another, on my entire mountain, holy mountain. For the land will be as full of the knowledge of the Lord as the sea is filled with water. What a contrast that is today, where we see companies treating animals with no respect whatsoever. They care not if an animal is suffering as long as they get increased production to make money. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 10 says, "The righteous care for the needs of their animals, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel." Animals are important to God, just as much as we are. Psalm 50 verse 7, "Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am your God. I will not accept a bull from your household or male goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine. I know every bird of the mountains and the creatures of the field. They are all mine." And I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but when God made a covenant with the animals as well, God made the covenant with man, and he made it with the animals at the time of the flood. It was after the flood, when this is recorded in Genesis chapter 9 verse 8. "Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, 'Understand that I am confirming my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, birds, livestock, and all wildlife of the earth that are with you, all the animals of the earth that came out of the ark. I confirm my covenant with you that never again will every creature be wiped out by the waters of a flood. There will never again be a flood to destroy the earth.' And God said, 'This is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all future generations. I place my bow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I form clouds over the earth and the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures. Water will never again become a flood to destroy every creature. The bow will be in the clouds, and I will look at it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all the living creatures on earth.' And God said to Noah, 'This is a sign of the covenant that I have confirmed between me and every creature on this earth.'" Now there we have just made, God has just made seven covenants, one to the living creatures of man and one to the living creatures of all flesh that is on the earth. We know that the number seven is completeness, don't we? So animals are holy to the Lord. Leviticus 27 verse 26 says, No one, however, may dedicate the firstborn of an animal, since the firstborn already belongs to the Lord, whether an ox or a sheep. It's the Lord's. If it is one of the unclean animals, it may be brought back at set value, adding a fifth of the value to it. If it is not redeemed, it is to be sold at its set value. But nothing that a person owns and devotes to the Lord, whether a human being or an animal or family land, may be sold or redeemed. Everything so devoted is most holy to the Lord. We know that God has used animals for his own purpose. We know of the snake or the serpent in the Garden of Eden. There's the raven and the dove, remember, with Noah and the ark. And there's a lovely quote in Isaiah 40 about those who trust in the Lord. They will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We mentioned Jonah and the whale a while back, but there's also Balaam's ass, the record. In Numbers 22, we probably all know the story, but I'll repeat it. It goes to show you who the ass was, and it wasn't the donkey. God told Balaam he must do what God would tell him. But Balaam got up early, took off, and God was incensed when Balaam was going, so God's angel stood on the path to stop him. Balaam was riding his donkey, and when the donkey saw the angel standing on the path with a sword in his hand, the donkey turned off the path into a field. So Balaam hit the donkey to make it go back on the path. So the angel stood in a narrow passage. The donkey saw the angel and pressed itself against one side of the wall, and that squeezed Balaam's foot against it. So Balaam got annoyed again and hit the donkey. The angel went and stood in a place where there was no room to turn to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it stopped and crouched down under Balaam. Balaam was so angry, he beat the donkey furiously with his stick. And then the Lord intercedes on behalf of cruelty by Balaam. The Lord opened the donkey's mouth and said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have beaten me three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "You made me look like a fool. If I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you now." The donkey said, "Am I not the donkey you have ridden all your life until today? Have I ever treated you this way before?" Balaam replied, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the path with a drawn sword in his hand. Then Balaam knelt and bowed with his face to the ground. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why did you beat your donkey three times? I came out to stop you because of what you are doing is evil in my sight. Your donkey saw me and turned away from me three times. Let your donkey live. If she had not turned away, I would have killed you by now." And that's one of the lovely stories of the Bible, how an animal saved Balaam's life. And of course, the talking donkey. Don't get those very often, do we? Dogs are mentioned quite a few times, funny enough, but never a cat. There's a dog in particular mentioned in the story of Gideon. If you remember Gideon, the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone that laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, select him, but likewise everyone that bows down his knee to drink are not selected." They were selecting him to fight a battle. And he wanted to see who were the guys who really took it seriously. And there were only 300 men who left putting their hands in their mouth. So these were the men who left the water into their mouth were selected for Gideon to use to fight the Midianites. So God uses animals, showing us that they can be examples for us in serving God. We have a very interesting quote in the Job chapter 12, verse 6. "The tents of the robbers are safe, and those who provide God are secure." God's power provides this. But ask the animals, and they will instruct you. Ask the birds of the sky, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will instruct you. Let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? The life of every living thing is in his hand, as well as the breath of all mankind. I was going to finish the quote there, but I thought I might as well read on the next couple of verses. Verse 11, "Does not ear test words as a palate tastes food?" And verse 12, "Wisdom is found with elderly, and understanding comes with long life." Wisdom and strength belongs to God. I had to include that. Another thing that caught my eye was that, you remember in Job chapter 1, it says that Job's estate was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large number of servants. And we know in the last chapter, after all the long life of Job and the problems he had, it tells us about how the Lord rewarded Job by doubling the animals. It says in verse 12, "So the Lord blessed the last part of Job's life more than the first. He was given double the other figures, 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys." Notice, it was all animals, not gold or silver or money. So God's view of animals is much better and higher than what we place them. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 18 says, "I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might show them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which happens to the sons of men happens to beasts. And one thing that happens to them, as the one dies, so dies the other." Yes, they have all one breath. So the man has no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go to the one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. So, although we do have a longer life than most animals, we all end up in the same place because of sin. Adam was created to live with God. He was given a better understanding of life, and as I said, a higher intellect than the animals. And so God, by showing his love for man, provided a way back to him. He provided a son. We have the same nature we all have, overcame his sinful nature, and so became an animal, the sacrificial lamb of God. And that's why we are here this day, to remember the Lord Jesus and what he's done. When he returns, we'll have to answer to Jesus and say how we treated our brothers and sisters, and also, how about the animals? They all belong to our Father in heaven. Thank you.